Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly favored? Warriors of the Most High. Oh, if we just comprehend that we are sent into this realm on a military mission. We weren't sent into this realm on a religious mission. It's a military mission. This ain't about religion. It's a military operation. And even though we were sent into this realm to do a military operation, many people have fallen astray to the ways and cares of the world, have been taken captive and prisoners to this realm, not fulfilling the will of God, not learning, not surrendering, not able to see, not able to hear, not able to receive and obey. Things are turning, things are changing, and things are moving rapidly because we are in a time of acceleration. You know, the more deeper we get in the Spirit, the more things begin to disappear that are so vain. So vain. So foolish. And we begin to realize how much wasted time. I was speaking to someone today and I said, man, every day is another page. Tighten up. Why are you wasting the time? Every day is another page of wasted time that we get so caught up. We try to be busy to waste time. It's amazing. We look to get busy to waste time. You know why we look to be busy to waste time? Because of the voice that's in us that hasn't been dealt with yet. We have been talking about the converting of the soul. Man, I can't get out of this yet. It's incredible. And in this converting of the soul, there are levels of conversion. Amen. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 7? Yes, that's the name of the teaching, levels of conversion. Glory. Romans 7. In verse 15, would you read it with me? For what I am doing, I do not understand. Some people use that for an excuse. What do you mean? For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Now, where's your will? It's in your soul. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. In other words, the presence of evil. The sins he's talking about, the presence of evil, is not only the person of self, but it's the voices in the soul. Is everybody okay? Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. In other words, sin is the presence of evil. That means that these are voices in our soul. In verse 21, I find in the law that evil is present with me in the one who wills to do it. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Now the law of God exposes unrighteousness. It exposes unrighteousness. But there's also another law that we'll talk about. But I see another law. Oh, cool. I see a what? Another law in my members, warring against the law of my what? Mind. And where is your mind? In your soul. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, the law of the voice of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with flesh the law of sin. Only through the law of Christ, which is the law of conversion or converting the soul, and that law again is deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Amen. Am I able, or we are able, to overcome the presence of evil, which is sin associated with self, the old man, and the voices in the soul? The law of conversion is to engage in the process of converting the soul to one voice and one sight. To converting the soul to what? One voice and one sight. Amen. So we see here that the mind, the will, the emotions or feelings, and the imagination are in the soul. This war is in the members of the soul. See, people don't even realize that they're hearing or receiving or being influenced by another voice because there's truly one speaker in us. But they're not discerning the fruit of the voice. So everybody got it? So if they're not discerning the fruit of the voice, they think it's just them or God. And this is the arena that the converting of the soul is to remove the other voices so that there's only one voice, because what you hear is what you'll see. Amen. All right, let's go a little deeper. James 4. Levels of conversion. James chapter 4. James 4 and verse 1. James 4 verse 1, let's speak it together. It says what? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Let me ask you a question. Does a desire have a voice? You know how many times that you believed that the voice of desire was the voice of God? Because it released a feeling? Oh, that feels good. Must be God. That gave me goosebumps. Goosebumps are not fruit. In fact, they can become granola if you let them. They can become nutty and fruity, that's why. Again, goosebumps are not fruit. Look at this. He says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your what? Pleasures, those voices of pleasure, those desires of pleasure. Then he calls them adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Why does he call that friendship with the world? Because those voices are of the world. Even though you sense one voice. But it's really not. It's just one speaker with multiple voices coming through that speaker. Is everybody all right? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So what's the devil trying to do? Keep you as a friend of the world, isn't he? Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The word grace means his plan. It's not mystical, nor is it magical. Thank God. He resists the proud. In other words, he will not, if you're prideful, he will not allow you the plan to escape. You will stay there until you humble yourself. But he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, in verse 7, he says, submit to God. In other words, submit to the law of God, the law of conversion, which is to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Submit to the voice of God so you can resist the devil, and then they will flee from you. In other words, you'll have dominion. Again, desires are voices in your members of your soul. He gives more grace or the plan to the humble. And humble is to be submissive and obedient. When you submit to God's law to resist the presence of evil and sin, of self, and the voices, they flee. Amen. So everybody got it. In other words, because you no longer allow them, you take dominion over them. In Psalm 107. How many of you know fear is a voice? Not only that, it's a spirit. You can even go deeper. It's a stinking demon. Hallelujah. Psalm 107 and verse 4. There is a lot of information in these verses here. And starting at verse 4, he says, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, a place of fellowship. In verse 5, hungry and thirsty, they're what? Their soul fainted in them. Why? Because they weren't being fed eternal. They were being fed temporary food, not eternal food. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works for the children of men. For he satisfies the what? Longing soul. And what's the soul again? The mind, will, emotions, and imagination. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. In other words, a hungry soul is an individual who desires to change. God will never force you to change. You must have a desire to change. Verse 10, speak it with me. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God. Now wait a minute, the words of God are his voice. So they rebelled against his voice in exchange for the voice of the strangers. Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Did you ever receive counsel and reject it? It's amazing, because what the enemy tries to do is convince you you received it from a man or a woman. But it was actually from the Lord. And when it's associated with an office or a word of the gift or whatever, how it might come forth to you. When God speaks to you through someone, It's not a man or a woman. It's the Spirit of God. It's the anointing that speaks to us. And we can't just shrug it off like it's, oh, it's just a person. Because there will be reaping. Why? Because when you reject it, you open the door for the enemy to come and steal, kill, and destroy. And he will not give you the plan of escape. You will stay in your torment to the day you die. And whatever you touch will not prosper. It will crumble. And verse 12. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Every time you cry out to God for help, he puts you in a place to learn, or else you're going to repeat it. And if you're in the wrong place, it's junk food. It does nothing but puff up the soul instead of free the soul. They brought them out. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze, cut the bars of iron in two. Verse 17, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul, look at this, their soul abhorred all manner of food. In other words, they agreed with the voice of the stranger. Their soul began to eat things that were contaminating, things that were destructive, things that would begin to move them away from the Spirit. You know, the Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, people don't even know when they grieve the Spirit. Because when a person grieves the Spirit, they're already in the condition before they even grieve Him. And the Spirit backs off and they don't even know the Spirit's gone. They don't even realize the Spirit has backed off from them. And they walk about like everything is, oh, oh. And they play religion. Now they're in an arena of faking it and hope they can make it. But you can't make it in a fake it. Hello? You can't make it in a fake it. It don't work. You can fake it all you want. But everything will crumble. You will not progress. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of what? Death. To the gates of what? Death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses again. Puts them in a place to learn. He sent his word, his voice, and he healed them to those who received. And delivered them from their destructions. All that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. These sacrifices of thanksgiving is known as praise. Praise. In other words, soul. See, this was the key, soul. You know how you get out of things? You sow your way out. 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 Is everybody all right? They abhorred nasty food for the soul that contaminates the soul with deceptive voices and spirits. In Jeremiah 18, in verse 1, let's speak it together. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my words or my voice. I will cause you. Where are you at right now? This is the potter's house. It's a place of fellowship. That's where the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. It's called the potter's house. There's a specific word that God has for a specific sheep. Somebody got it? Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the vessel, at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. In other words, wasn't perfect. Something was not right with this vessel. So he made it again. In other words, he crushed it and redid it. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. So when things begin to crumble in your life, you can be guaranteed that the potter is trying to get you back on the wheel. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at the clay is in the potter's hand. So are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, that nation now is a representation of ethnic, me and you. If that person turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon him. Is everybody with me? And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. In other words, he will not release his promises. This all goes back that the Bible tells us that when you do the will of God, the promise is released. And not until then. When he gives you something to do, if you don't complete it, the promise isn't released. It will not be released. Because then he'd be a liar, wouldn't he? And God is not a liar. Is everybody all right? The potter's house is a place of assembly of the saints to hear what the Spirit is saying, to heal, to reveal, to empower, to restore, to prosper, and to position with one voice. Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. In verse 23. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Why? Because they did not follow the law of conversion. And they never removed the voices, or they opened themselves up for more voices to replace the ones they attempted to remove. Is everybody all right? Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt, which means bondage of the world, until this day I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. And I know we don't want to go in that condition. So we've got to come to a place that we're willing to change, willing to do whatever it takes to change, and willing to deny ourselves in every area, willing to pick up the cross, which is put on the new, and follow, which is submit and obey. Amen? In Matthew 17. That voice of God is known as the voice of truth. Matthew 17. Hallelujah. In verse 1, Matthew 17, verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured. You might say he was converted. Before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now let me share something with you. As I began to watch this, this blew me away. And it says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice out of the cloud came, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Now, I think it's phenomenal because these are the levels of conversion that he began to express. What they wanted to do is build 3 tabernacles. One for Jesus. Now I'm going to use this as an expression because the tabernacle of God has 3 chambers. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And it says here, let's build 3 tabernacles. One for Jesus, outer court. And I'll explain why in this condition. One for Moses, holy place. And one for Elijah, the most holy place. And in this arena, we see that Jesus, when Jesus said, and we'll go there in a minute, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, representing the tabernacle of God. The way is the outer court, the truth is the holy place, and the life is the most holy place. So when Jesus said, I am the way, that's why when Peter said, well, let's build a tabernacle, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Jesus is a representation of the cross, the way. But when you see the word way here now, Jesus is the law of the Spirit, isn't he? Didn't he come to exchange the law? So now he brought the law of conversion. That's why you can enter the way. That's why he says you're to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Well, actually, denying yourself is the outer court, picking up the cross is the holy place, and follow is the most holy place. But in each tabernacle, in each place, in the outer court, there are 3 levels of conversion. So we see here, Moses, so Jesus exchanged the law, didn't he? The law of sin and death for the law of conversion in the outer court. In the holy place, Moses was a removal. In other words, Moses died and he was taken up alive. He was died and then he was brought back, wasn't he? Has everybody got it? His body was brought to heaven. In other words, in an arena where Moses, that with God buried, and then God sent an angel and took his body and brought it home. So in this, it's almost, it's a representation of death and resurrection. So Moses is a representation in the holy place of removing the dead of the old and putting on the new. And Elijah, the place of life, that means that he was taken up alive by the Spirit. Why? Because he walked with God. Walking with God is going to take one voice. If you truly want to please him and walk with him, it's time to remove all of these other voices where there is one voice. You know, it's amazing where people tell me that they walk, they stepped out in faith. Well, when people tell me they stepped out in faith, I always see a landmine. Because there's no such thing as blind faith. If God told you you heard the right voice, you will always see. And when you see, you do. So everybody got it? You hear, you see, you do. You hear, you see, you do. If you hear and you don't see, you don't do. Huh? I heard, and I think I'll just go do it. Well, that's dumb. That's called assumption. An assumption is stepping on a landmine. I get people all the time telling me, oh, the Lord told me this, go do this, go do it. I was asking, did you see it? Are you sure God told you? Did you confirm he told you? Well, no, I just stepped out in faith. Faith is spiritual sight. It's not blind. See, that's immature and childish. And I don't care how long you've been a believer. It has nothing to do with God is not looking at how long you've been a believer. He's looking at you. He can speak to you with one voice, and he can trust you. Because until that one voice is established in you, he can't trust you. Has everybody got it? And one of our desires should be always to earn the trust of God. I want him to be able to trust me. So when he asks me to do something, I'm going to do it. But when he asks me to do it, I'm going to wait to see it. Because if I don't see it, I am not doing it. Has everybody got it? The assumption has got to stop. In fact, it's called the sin of presumption. Oh, I could go on that all day. Again, Jesus, in John 14, 6, you don't have to go there, you can write it down. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way is the exchange, it's the cross. Where Jesus died on the cross, it is the first chamber. It's called the way. That's where the law of exchange was. The second chamber is known as the truth. That's where his word, is his word truth? Is his word a voice? Has everybody got it? This is where he begins to deal with us and removing the other voices to place in his voice. And the life is where we live in the spirit so Christ is truly expressed. Has everybody got it? And we have a what? New life. Isn't that our desire to have a new life? Hallelujah. Go to Philippians 2. And when there's a new life, is there a new sight? Yes. You know, when I had my visitation from the Lord, you can ask my wife, I looked at everything. Whoa. I had a whole new sight. I saw things that I never saw before. Of course, I saw things prior to that I never saw before either. Shadows, demons, I heard voices around everywhere. They stood at the end of my bed. I thought I was nuts, but they were real. I didn't find that out until later. Those beady red eyes and all the other stuff, curtains moving in my house, and beds moving, and drawers moving, and they used to move my stash around my house, and used to take my money. Hallelujah. They used to speak to me and tell me strange things. Man, did they. And I did strange things because I obeyed them. But there was something that happened after my conversion. I saw things differently. colors. Everything was brilliant and different. I had compassion for everything. I wasn't stupid about certain things. I sensed things coming when they weren't right. Then the one voice that was within me, when it spoke, I saw it. When it spoke, I saw it. When it spoke, I saw it. So there was no assumption. And it was strange because people, after first of all, I thought that happened to every believer. I thought, wow, what an experience. This happens to everybody? Man, I need to lead everybody to the Lord. I want to see them get slammed like I was and flip and flap like they've been fish out of water. But it didn't happen that way. But I thought it did. And so in this, I was like, why don't you see this? You know, I was around believers that were 30 years believers. And I was more mature than they were. And it wasn't because of me, it was because of him. And the reason for that is because out of his mercy and grace, he removed all the voices. And I had one voice and one vision. And everything was different. Everything. Now we got to fight for everything. Now I got to fight for everything. And we got to maintain that arena of constantly removing those voices, those emotional attachments, all of these things. And we're going to get more into this later. Apparently we'll be in here for a little while, I guess. Anyways, Philippians chapter 2. In verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling, for it is God who works in you both to what? Where's your will in your soul? To will and to do his good pleasure. So he says, work out. Work out. Work out your salvation. In other words, don't work through, work out. There's a reason why that word was utilized. Because you must get them out. Work out your salvation so you're not deceived. Everybody all right? Now, work out your salvation. In other words, you must cooperate with the three levels of conversion per chamber. There's three chambers in a tabernacle. There's three levels of conversion in each tabernacle. Is everybody with me? I've got to go somewhere first. Romans 12. Romans 12. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Are you grabbing hold of this? Vitally important. Romans 12. In verse 2. Again, there are three levels of conversion per chamber. All right? So everybody got it? And he tells us right here. In verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where's your mind? In your soul. That you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. What's the will? Where's the will? Okay, what's the three conversions? Good, acceptable, and perfect. So what he's saying, there's three areas of conversion. There's the conversion where you are in the good. There's a place of acceptable. And there's a place of perfect. Each one carries deny self, pick up cross, follow. And deny self means take off old. Pick up cross means put on new. And follow means submit and obey. Has everybody got it? So you have to do that in every chamber. Now listen. So for me just to do the good, I still have to deny self, pick up cross, and follow. If I want to advance, I go to the next level of acceptable. Deny self, pick up, cross, follow. If I want to advance further, this is still in the first chamber of salvation. If I want to advance, I go to deny, follow, pick up cross, deny self, pick up cross, and follow. For the perfect. The word perfect means complete. Is everybody with me? If you go into, if you advance into the next chamber without completing the three conversions in the first chamber, you will always have to go back. You can only go so far, and there'll be set limitations on you. You're always going back. Always going back to try and do it. Always going back. That's why some people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They've never completed the first chamber. And I'm going to show you what's in there. Because it's a place of salvation, isn't it? Amen? So the first chamber is the way. The second chamber is the truth. And the third chamber is the life. The first chamber is the outer court. The second chamber is the holy place. The third chamber is the most holy place. This is the tabernacle of God Almighty. And this is... We live in the tabernacle now. Not only are we the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we live in the tabernacle. Go to Mark chapter 1. I wanted to express that before we went any further. So the good, the acceptable, and a perfect will is the choice in the soul. These are the three levels to reach so that we are complete. Has everybody got it? Anybody got it? Mark chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 2, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice, the what? The what? The voice of one. Woo-hoo. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Now, we know the voice of one was who? John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah. Prepare the what? The way. What was he saying? Prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Prepare the way. What's the way? Jesus said, I am the... So what is the way then? It's the first chamber, isn't it? Prepare for the first chamber. Does everybody got it? Prepare for the first chamber. Why? Because there's a law exchange in there. You will exchange the law of sin and death and hell, and you will have be able to obtain the law of conversion. To deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow. Prepare the way. Man, when the Spirit showed me this, I almost fell off my chair. I said, prepare the way. Oh my gosh, I saw the cross there. He said, yes, and that was the exchange. It wasn't about just preparing the way for Jesus. It was the preparing a way for conversion. Wasn't it his whole desire? Isn't that why he died? So that we can be converted. Our soul can be converted. Isn't completion of redemption conversion? Amen. So prepare the way is the first chamber of the tabernacle, the cross of exchanging the law of sin and death for the conversion law of deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Go to James 5. Oh, hallelujah. James 5, verse 19. says, brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth. What chamber is that? Second chamber. If anyone wanders from the truth and someone turns him what? Back. Where's he going back to? The first chamber. Has everybody got it? Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his what? Way. Will save a what? Soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Wow. Wanders from the truth. Is his word truth? Amen. It's the second chamber. His truth is one voice, isn't it? Anyone who wanders from that one voice of his word will fall. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6:63. Let's speak it. It is the Spirit who what? Gives life. What chamber is the Spirit in? Third chamber. Way, truth, and life. That's where the Spirit is, isn't it? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are what? Life, and life is in the what? Third chamber, so the Spirit gives life. One voice with Christ, and Christ expressed through us. This is where the stature, the character of Christ is formed in me and you, because now we are living the life of Christ. Has everybody got it? We are living the life of Christ. It's no longer that. See, what happens is the word says abide in Christ. We abide in Christ. We abide in Christ. We abide in Christ. Now he abides in us. This is a oneness. Oh, yeah, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, but it's truly the fullness of Christ abiding in an individual. Not if he doesn't have charge of all chambers. Not if he doesn't have charge of all areas, does he? That's why some people don't understand the way you speak because you speak another language. That's why some people can't understand certain things. That's why they live an emotional coaster ride up and down, up and down. They're moved by how they feel. They're moved by what they see. They're moved by this. They're moved by that. They've been believers for 30 and 40 years, and they're still the words that come out of their mouth are still perverse because they've never done completion in the first chamber. And they become prideful. But there truly is not, that relationship is broke. It's not really there because there's no fear of God, the reverence of God. Because if there truly is a relationship, the Lord is always right there in front of you, always. No matter what you do. Yeah, Dad, I see you. I love you. You love me. I'm your son. You're my dad. If I walk, guy, don't step on that. Landmine. Okay. Get back here. I didn't send you there. Okay. Relationship. See, when these other voices begin to get removed and we're willing to go through each level of conversion in each chamber, we become complete. See, then we don't advance ourselves. He does. He does. He advances us, not us. Amen? Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 7, do not be what? Do not be what? Do not be what? Deceived. How are you going to be deceived? By the voice of the stranger. Do your feelings speak? Do your desires speak? Do your thoughts speak? Do the things you see speak? Does your choices speak, the things that you choose to do? Does the world speak? Amen. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. So don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not what? Lose heart, give up, or stop. Has everybody got it? So there's something that's going to advance you to each level. It's called confession. It's called what? Confession. Confession. So we are going to advance by confession. Has everybody got it? You're going to advance by what? Confession. Go to Ephesians 4, because what you sow is what you what? Reap. Hold on a second. I want to go somewhere else. Uh-huh. Cool. So the outer court is the place of the cross, which is salvation, isn't it? That's the first court. It's called the way. The second court is called the truth, right? And the third court is called life, who Jesus said, I am the three chambers. Of course, the outer court chamber is called the outer court. Then you got the holy place and the most holy place. But we advance, we go through, we are converted by confession. Because what you sow is what you reap, and he who sows in the spirit reaps life. So what? Where are you trying to get to? Life, right? Way, truth, and life. You're trying to get to life, which is the third chamber. And that's where you want to live in the spirit, isn't it? So that's what, so you got to understand then, the way you get to life is to confess, because you must sow in the spirit. Amen? Go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Because confession brings possession, and what you confess is what you eat. What comes out of your mouth is what you eat. So if you're confessing the words of life, you will eat life. That's why they in the Psalm 107 we spoke about that they are to hoard food, nasty food, to their soul. Why? Because the things they spoke, the things they agreed with, what you speak is what you eat. Round of mouth and nothing. I hate this person. I hate that person. Well, you're just going to eat your soul right up. And you'll be full of garbage. And you'll speak more garbage. Well, I just don't understand why this, and I don't understand. Oh, shut up. Most of the mouth of the voices. Get rid of them. You know what they do? Let me share something with you. They multiply. How do they multiply? You keep speaking it, another demon comes out of hell. Foom. 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 How do you think that one person became legion? Amen. 2,000 to 3,000 demons. You think they just parachuted in from somewhere? No. Those few demons that accessed him caused him to speak. When he began to speak, another one came. When he began to speak, another one came. That's how they multiply on the earth. We draw them out of hell by the things people speak. Has everybody got it? Psalm 32. I'm telling you, I've seen some believers that have been believers for 30 and 40 years, and they have no idea how demonized they are. No idea. Because the things they speak. Oh, I love Jesus. Hey, man, you can pray in the spirit and still have demons, you know. Amen? You can even worship God and still have demons. Psalm 32, verse 5. Would you speak it with me? I acknowledge my sin to you. In other words, I acknowledge the presence of evil that carries that voice to you. And my iniquity I have not hidden. That's what the curse that he inherited because of what he spoke. I will confess my transgression to the Lord. That is the act that brought the curse. Now let me share something with you. So that voice comes and says, do this. The presence of evil comes, carries a voice. He says, do this. You go, okay. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you just transgress now. Now that just brought a curse on you and your family line. And it just opened up a door to the demon. And we wonder why our children go goofy. Although they still have a free will too. He said, I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, my acts, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. In other words, you forgave the curse of my sin. You removed it. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. In a time when you may be found, surely in the flood of great waters or the enemy, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with what? Songs of what? Hello. Why does he end up with the word deliverance? Get rid of those voices. But isn't singing sowing? Then he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. I love it. Why? Because as you obey me, I'm going to start removing these voices, because I'm going to give you words to confess so that you will acknowledge those sins. Confess, 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 confess. Remove the voice, remove the voice, remove the voice. And then you'll see what I want you to see, no longer what you want to see. Is everybody okay? Romans 10. Three levels of conversion per chamber. Good, acceptable, perfect. Good, acceptable, perfect. Too many people are advancing to the next chamber on good. Not complete the first. Romans 10. Hallelujah. Romans 10:8. Is everybody there? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you what? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what? You'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? So you couldn't even get salvation until you first acknowledge your sins. By what? Confession. Then salvation was available by what? Confession. So there's that arena of three conversions in the first chamber. Good, acceptable, and perfect. And they are given to us by the Lord by specific prayers of confession. Each one, when completed, as you maintain that completion, will advance you. Is everybody with me? If you advance on the good, or you even advance on the acceptable and not advance it on the complete, you're always running back. Always running back. That's where the devil comes and pushes. But the Holy Spirit leads. Always running back. Man, you spend the rest of your life trying to keep yourself instead of serve. Hallelujah. advancing to the next chamber uncompleted will cause limitations. It will cause lack of understanding. It will cause lack of vision and sight. It will allow access of your enemy. You will have an unfulfilled destiny of His perfect will. It will never be complete. Ephesians 4. Is everybody all right? We're almost done. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Again, it says, He Himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. In other words, one voice. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a what? Perfect man. What? What's he talking about here? Fulfilling every conversion in each chamber will bring you to a perfect man. To the measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ. That's the third chamber, living in the Spirit. Where Christ, you are living the life. Not only are you abiding in Him, but He's abiding in you. One voice. And listen, even when that occurs, you still got to beat off the other ones. And I'm not saying another voice won't sneak in. But this is where we... Deliverance is not a one-time event. It's a continuous. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 5. Perfect man, complete in all levels, till there is one voice to follow. One voice. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, what does it say? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Now, wait a minute. That means I hear and I see. Then I do. Amen? Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, in other words, He's the man with the plan. Who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have what? Suffered a while. Suffered a while. That's that battle, isn't it? That's the areas where your confession to go through each conversion, that each level of conversion till it's complete. Each level of conversion till it's complete. And listen, and God can multiply this over and over and over in your life in certain areas depending on what position He wants to fill you in and what position you're willing to yield to be filled in. So after you've suffered a while, what's He going to do? Perfect. In other words, complete. So He can what? Establish you, strengthen you, and settle you so you're immovable. Is everybody okay? Good. And we're going to close at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Levels of conversion are good, acceptable, and perfect. There are three levels of conversion per each chamber. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone what? cleanses himself from the ladder. How's he going to cleanse himself from the ladder? Confession, through going through three levels of conversion, won't he? So that you reach the place of good, acceptable, then perfect, which is complete, so you can advance. Therefore, if anyone cleanses his son for the latter, he will be a vessel of what? Honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for what? Every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. In other words, the things of the past, but pursue what? Righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who what? Call out on the Lord of what? A pure heart. Pure heart and clean hands. Those are people that are going through the levels of conversion willingly, willfully, making their confessions. We're going to talk about that later. We're going to go through the confessions of going through each one, but not tonight. But avoid foolish. Now look at this. Verse 23. You want to maintain a pure heart and clean hands? Those are those who go to the holy mountain of God. He says this, but avoid foolish and ignorant what? Blah, 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 blah. Things we speak. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. You know why people get into a struggle with one another? They're just trying to prove whose flesh is bigger. My flesh is bigger than your flesh. What cracks me up is people try to cast out a demon router. Yeah, I can bind that demon in you. And the other person goes, yeah, I bind that demon in you. Let me tell you, ain't no demon bound. In fact, they're both getting fed. And they're inviting their friends. Hey, look at, they're binding demons. They're laughing at us. You can't bind a demon in the flesh. It ain't going to work. They're all getting filled, man. They're popping out of hell left and right. Cracks me up, man. You know why? Didn't complete the first chamber. Never complete. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife and welcome demons. And a servant of the Lord must not what? Yeah, I want to serve the Lord, yeah. I won't go there. But he should be able to what? Teach. I said teach. That means be an example. How can you teach something you're not practicing? Be patient. That's endure. And humility. Correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. His will can only be established if he has control over your soul. Is everybody okay? We want to be a vessel of honor. There is the process, the levels of conversion, three levels, each chamber. You willing to do whatever it takes? Praise God. It's all about confession. It's all about confession. It's all about sowing. It's all about sowing. It's about sowing. You're going to sow your way all the way through to life. You're going to sow your way through from good, acceptable, and perfect. You got to keep sowing. Sow till you die, then you have life. Deny yourself. Put on the new. And submit and obey. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Help us. Grant us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding to comprehend what you spoke tonight so that we may follow it all the way through that we may be complete in you and not be moved, so that we get to that place where there are no options. The option is, I'd rather die than go back to the world. That is the option. I would rather die than fulfill the will of darkness instead of light. That's the option. Your will, not ours. Oh, Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one of us. And I ask that you establish us, strengthen us, and perfect us as we suffer through these levels of conversion. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a mighty hand.